Those who are intelligent and in their purified consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness, freed from the modes of material nature. They do not act for sense gratification. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act. Report. The first class example of this type of man is Arjuna. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and his occupational duty was to fight. Generally, kings fight to extend their kingdoms, which they rule for sense gratification. But as far as Arjuna is concerned, he declined to fight for his own sense gratification. He said that although he could get a kingdom by fighting with his relatives, he did not want to fight with them. But when he was ordered by Krishna, convinced by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita that his duty was to satisfy Krishna, then he fought. Thus he fought not for his sense gratification, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who work at their prescribed duties, not for sense gratification, but for gratification of the Supreme Lord, are called Nisanga, freed from the influence of the modes of material nature. Nyasta karmana indicates that the results of their activities are given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such persons appear to be acting on the platform of their respective duties, but such activities are not performed for personal sense gratification, rather they are performed for the Supreme Person. Such devotees are called prashanta, which means completely satisfied. Shuddha Chittasa means Krishna conscious. Their consciousness has become purified. In unpurified consciousness, one thinks of himself as the Lord of the universe. But in purified consciousness, one thinks himself the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Putting oneself in that position of eternal servitorship of the Supreme Lord and working for him perpetually, one actually becomes completely satisfied. As long as one works for his personal sense gratification, he will always be full of anxiety. That is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Vande Shri Guru
Shri Jatam Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam
between the two types of consciousness in which one acts. Krishna consciousness does not mean to become inactive. We don't do anything. We just sit down and meditate. Krishna consciousness means you act, but you act in Krishna consciousness. Arjuna was thinking, better just become a meditator, not to fight on this battlefield. But Krishna convinced him, no, your actual position is you must engage in this activity for my satisfaction. So this art is what we have to learn. We have to learn how to always act in Krishna consciousness. Not to give up activity, but to act in Krishna consciousness. This is our perfection. As Prabhupada so aptly points out, in unpurified consciousness, one thinks of himself as the Lord of the universe. This is the contaminated consciousness. Everyone thinks, I'm the center. They think as if they are the center, they speak as if they are the center, they act as if they are the center. Therefore, there's so many conflicts going on everywhere. Just like in a pond, if you throw your rock in one place, and I throw my rock in another place, the waves coming out from those rocks will clash with one another. But if we all throw our rocks in the same place, this is called Ishavasha, the God-centered conception. We all put our rocks in the same place, then it becomes one beautiful big series of waves coming out. This God-centered conception is the whole basis of the Vedic civilization. Actually, if it is not God-centered, it is not really a civilization. Just various degrees of barbarianism when God is not the center. This is the tendency of the modern day societies to become more and more godless. When they formed the US government, many back in the 1700s, God was written into the founding documents. When they founded the European Union, there's no mention of God. It's just a symptom of the age. Even the American dollar still says, in God we trust. Of course, the atheists want to get rid of that. They're very disturbed. And they see, in God we trust, on on the currency. So this idea to try to lord it over the material world has been, we carry it with us. Our Prabhupada explains our first birth in the material world is as Lord Brahma. We got to have some idea of being the Lord by being Lord Brahma in our first birth in the material world. But that didn't satisfy us. We tried being this, we tried being that, we tried to lord it over in so many ways that in each and every situation we're not satisfied. So by continuing this artificial pursuit of overlordship, when it's not our nature, why try to be something that we're not? Krishna consciousness means don't try to be something that you're not. Just be who you actually are. Come back to your original, natural state of consciousness. The difficulty is it seems very unnatural for us. We're so conditioned to trying to lord it over the material nature that to not be in that position of overlordship, to be a subordinate servant, it seems very unnatural. If we ask somebody, would you like to be a servant? No way. Everybody wants to be the master. No one wants to be the servant. Servant is actually the liberated position. That takes training, that takes education to understand that. It takes expert guidance how to actually enter into that mood of being the servant and relishing that position. But that's the actual liberated position, to be the servant. Jivera Saripahai Krishnera Nitya Das. The constitutional position of the living entity is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So if we can somehow or other get back to that original consciousness of just wanting to please Krishna with our every thought, our every word, our every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, then we'll become liberated. Now we're just kind of hovering back and forth. You see. We try to please ourselves, we try to please Krishna, back and forth, that's our neophyte position. We're not fully entering into bhakti, we're partially entering into bhakti. So in that way we actually cheat ourselves, you see, by not fully surrendering. Prabhupada told us one time, he said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and you were thinking, maybe. Prabhupada knew our minds, our skepticism. So how do we get free from that skepticism? The absolutely, totally convinced. Well, we have to hear, keep on hearing. That's why we have Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The more you hear, the more you understand, we become more and more and more convinced. And whatever you have realized, whatever you have understood, if you will propagate that to everyone you meet as far as possible, that will also strengthen your conviction. If I hear some argument of how God exists, and it sounds pretty good, and I tell that to others and they're convinced by it, and that helps me to become more convinced. So this preaching is very good for our own Krishna consciousness. Because the more we can convince others, that strengthens our own conviction. This process of Krishna consciousness is very scientific. It's not some blind faith religion. Actually, Krishna condemns blind faith religion, blind following. That's why he says you must be quiet. This was the nice instruction I got in the very beginning from His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj. He told me this, he said, you must inquire until your intelligence is fully satisfied. Very, very profound advice. So don't blindly accept things. Blindly accepting means you'll blindly reject also. Use your intelligence. Human life means intelligence. One who does not utilize intelligence, they're animal only. Human life means intelligence. The intelligence to inquire about the Absolute Truth, to understand what is the Absolute Truth, to absorb one fully in meditation and service to the Absolute Truth. So we take advantage of the wonderful mercy coming down from these unbelievably merciful acharyas, the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das, Vishwanatha Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narad Muni, these great, great acharyas. They are actually showering their blessings down upon us at every minute. We have to always remain in the shower of the acharya mercy. Why? Because we're dirty. You're dirty, you get in the shower, isn't it? So, we're very filthy, contaminated by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So, well, we should always stay in the shower of the mercy of these great acharyas. This will purify us. This will help us to get that natural taste which we formerly had and we lost due to our envy of the Supreme. By taking advantage of the wonderful kindness of these, the wonderful guidance of these great, great personalities that Krishna has sent here. And we can become reconnected with our actual identities as the eternal servants of that amazing person who has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, and unlimited fame. That person, Bhagavan, possessor of all opulences. We've forgotten it, but actually we're his associates in his original form or one of his expanded forms. We're associates, or servants, servant associates of that Supreme Person. We are simply meant to participate in his transcendental pastimes. That's the purpose for our existence. But thinking there might be something better, we wanted to check out another type of existence, and Krishna facilitated us. All right, try it. And when you realize it's a mistake, come back. So now we have some little realization. We made a big mistake by coming here and trying to be the Lord instead of the servant. We have some little realization. So now we have to strengthen the conviction of that realization. So our minds are no longer dancing back and forth between Krishna and Maya. We have to give up this vacillating like a windshield wiper, you know, back and forth, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya. And to bring the windshield wiper of the mind to a stop. Krishna, 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 Krishna. That's it. Yes. We have to be convinced that in Krishna consciousness, all of our desires will be absolutely, totally satisfied. There's no need for anything else other than Krishna consciousness. You see? I don't need wealth, I don't need women, I don't need followers. All I need is bhakti. Even if I have to take birth after birth, it doesn't matter. Bhakti is all I need. Even if I don't have to go back to Godhead, I can even stay here, birth after birth, and be engaged in pure devotional service. That will completely satisfy me. So we have to learn, and we have to train our minds how to find complete, total satisfaction within these two syllables, Krishna. All you really need is those two syllables, Krishna. Everything is there. Everything you need is right there, Krishna. So it's a matter of realization, it's a matter of becoming very determined, very patient, and very enthusiastic to achieve that realization. It doesn't come quickly for most of us. We've been so contaminated by mental speculation and sense gratification for so many lifetimes. It's not an instant process for most of us. It's a gradual process. That's why patience is very important. You can't expect to see Krishna immediately. We can't expect to have that awakening of pure love in the heart immediately. It takes time, so we have to be patient. You plant an apple seed in your backyard, how soon do you have apples that you can offer to Krishna? It will take quite some time. So this is an apple seed, it takes time to produce apples. The seed of bhakti, bhakti-lata bij, is implanted in our hearts by these great personalities, these acharyas. They planted the seed of love of God in our hearts. So, when you have a seed, what do? You have to water it. You have to keep the weeds from choking that seedling that's coming out. You have to water it. You have to also make a fence. It's described in Srila Prabhupada's books. You water the seed, you weed the garden, and you build a very strong fence. That fence means Hatimata. Keep out the mad elephant of Vaishnava Upravaya. It's a very, very important thing. We have to always have that, the deepest respect and admiration for all of the devotees. Actually, to have a devotees association is the greatest benediction, the greatest boon. Just imagine if you were in some world where there was no devotees. And then you could get one devotees association. It's such a great treasure. I know many years ago I was doing a business, Travelrama. We were selling airline tickets and various travel commodities to support our livelihood. So I went on a fam trip to familiarization trip for travel agents to Israel, the Holy Land of Israel. And the people on this trip, they were all nonsense, you know, eating meat. I felt just, I was, but usually I was in devotees, at least I had my wife's association. But now I had no association at all. It was like starving to death with no devotee association. But then I found out there were some devotees living there in Jerusalem. So I found them out and went to visit them, and just like, it's like entering their apartment, like entering the spiritual world. There was one, just, you know, just a couple, a household, a couple. And just to go and be with them for a few hours in the evening, it's like, I got my life back. So when we're in a big community like this, we tend to forget how great a blessing it is to even have one moment's association with a devotee. We forget it. We take it for granted. We have to beat our mind with shoes and realize I have to have a devotee's association. The Shastras say even from 1/11 of a second, Lava Matra, even 1/11 of a second association with a devotee can give you the highest perfection. So in this way we have to always, you know, train and beat down the familiarity breeds contempt consciousness that always tend to seep in bit of our neophyte mentalities. Kind of beat it down with the shoes of philosophical knowledge. Beat it down, and realize having a Vaishnava association is the greatest boon. So if we take proper advantage of the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, the wonderful literature, the wonderful movement, the wonderful association He's given us, and always be determined that I must give up this nonsense sense gratification consciousness. I must be very, very determined now to awaken the pure love of God within my heart and get rid of all of this nonsense, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy which has been torturing me for millions of lifetimes. We have that intensity that I must awaken love of God. ASAP. It's not the next year or next week. Today, now, I must beg for pure devotional service. Beg Krishna. Please, Krishna. Give me pure devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna will reciprocate. According to our degree of intense desire to awaken our love for Krishna within our heart, Krishna will reciprocate. 10 times more, Prabhupada said. 10 times more. If you take one little baby step towards Krishna, you'll take 10 giant steps towards you. You see? So every little bit of endeavor pays off humongous. There's no better investment than bhakti. Show me any investment in the stock market, you would not $1 and get 10 back. You see? Nowhere can you get such a great return on your investments. So here in Krishna consciousness, you get 10 times back. Whatever endeavor you make to surrender, Krishna reciprocates 10 times. So, all investors, please note, this is the place you invest your energy. You see? This is the place. Krishna consciousness. Invest your energy here and you'll be rewarded unlimitedly. So there's some questions, I can try to answer them. Should be related to the class, as we said. Related about the class. We try to preach Krishna consciousness to non-devotees and sometimes encourage them to take food at their place. We don't need to take the food of non-devotees. We can spend time with them. We don't need to take their food. How do we see Krishna's hand in everything that is happening in our lives, since Krishna is our best friend and well-wisher? Well, just by knowing, I mean, it's very difficult, because sometimes we meet with distress, some injury or some calamity comes. So, how do we always keep that vision as Krishna's mercy in all situations? We should first of all accept the principle that it is Krishna's kindness. Krishna is doing everything he can through the agency of his external energy and through the agency of his representatives, the devotees of the Lord, to get us back into our original pure state of consciousness. So we have faith in that principle and try to see everything in that light. Then Krishna will bless us to actually realize it more and more. Queen Kunti Devi was praying for difficulties because her experience was that difficulties were the best opportunity for her to remember Krishna. She was praying, please let those calamities come again and again. Because when I see calamities, I see you. And when I see you, I don't see birth and death anymore. So we always remember Queen Kunti's wonderful prayers given in Bhagavatam, begging for calamity. When calamities come, we can think, this is Krishna's blessing to help me take shelter. Okay. All human beings are not intelligent. How do we convince a person the difference of getting a human life and animal life, because animals are also intelligent enough to survive? Well, the difference is a human being can inquire about the purpose of his existence. The animal can only inquire, where is the worm, like the birds are chirping about, and where is the worm, where is the worm, where is the worm? The animals can only inquire, where is sense gratification? A human being can inquire, why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? These questions are not asked by animals. So that is a facility for the human life. Again, trying to make them related to what we spoke in class today. Now, God helps one who helps themselves, so if I do service to my satisfaction, then can I consider Krishna will be pleased? God helps those who help themselves is used in a particular context. if you make the endeavor to become Krishna conscious, Krishna, you endeavor to awaken your Krishna consciousness, and God will help you. Prabhupada quotes that famous saying in regards to the little sparrow whose eggs were stolen by the ocean. She made the endeavor to get her eggs back, and Garuda came and actually accomplished what she could not have accomplished on her own. So in that context, Prabhupada gives that saying, God helps those who help themselves. So even though it seems impossible for us to awaken pure love of God within the heart, considering how contaminated we actually are, if we make that endeavor, the sparrow made the endeavor, then Krishna will help us. He'll give us a spiritual master, he'll give us devotee association, he'll give us beautiful deities, he'll give us the holy name, he'll give us prasadam. This is the point. If you sincerely try to awaken love of God, Krishna will help you like anything to do that. That's the point. So they're asking a question like, I want to eat gulab jamun, so I cook and I offer it to Krishna and then I enjoy it. Is such an act sense gratification? Yeah. Of course, it's in the beginning, it's okay. If someone is completely new, you know, they get to cook it and then make halva, and they're, you know, at home, some new person. But as you're advancing Krishna consciousness, instead of thinking, I cook the thing that you like, you think, what can I make that Krishna will like? In the beginning, it's okay. But one should progress beyond that stage, thinking, what does Krishna want? See, how can I please my spiritual master? How can I please Krishna? That's a higher stage. And we have to come to that higher stage. How to stop overanalyzing yourself in devotional life? Well, if you're spending so much time in self-analysis, you can't do any service, and obviously you're overdoing it. Tamil President says, go do this service. And well, should I do it like this? Should I do it like that? And maybe I should do it this way or that way. And you never even do it, you see. Then you say, well, I'm perfect. I'm imperfect. How can I do that service? How can I possibly do that service? I'm so imperfect. The thing is, do your best, and Krishna will help you. You see. Krishna is there within your heart. He will give you the intelligence. You make a sincere endeavor, and Krishna will help you. We are analytical. And that's why we have Bhagavatam class. We analyze everything very thoughtfully, but it doesn't mean you don't act. You see, we do both things. Where does our material nature come from? It's actually the inferior energy of Krishna. What is the practical way of having patience? It doesn't mean becoming a doctor. Then you have patience. No, you have patience by meditating on the great personalities, how patient they are. You think about how much patience Srila Prabhupada had with us. How patient he was. Think about you study these great personalities, Srila Prabhupada, the personalities in the Bhagavatam, and see how patient they are and derive inspiration from them. Okay, what is the constitutional position? Your constitutional position means what is your actual situation? How is your soul, or your actually yourself, constituted? What is its actual position? That is your servant of Krishna. Which is the first temple in ISKCON? That was in New York City, 26 Second Avenue. What to do if I'm not satisfied in Krishna consciousness? Well, that means you're not in Krishna consciousness. It's simple. You're not in Krishna consciousness. So, you have to learn how to get into Krishna. Find a devotee who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness and learn from them how to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Fighting and hard not to indulge in sense gratification due to my conditioning. Well, you've really got to get the higher taste. You can't go on in some denial mode of not having any pleasure. You have to learn how to be happy in Krishna consciousness. How to relish the holy name, how to relish the kirtan, how to relish the devotees' association. You have to learn how to relish these things, understanding there's no greater pleasure than Krishna consciousness. Any pleasure, even to the point of being Lord Brahma himself, is insignificant compared to the pleasure of relishing the holy name, Krishna. How to have firm conviction in Krishna consciousness? Well, that's why we have to hear the Bhagavatam. That's why we have to study these great teachings. Many angles, from every angle of vision, we should understand this philosophy. This will give us conviction. In whatever way we're not convinced, we must inquire. As Vishwanathan Swami told me, you must inquire until your intelligence is fully satisfied. Whatever doubts you have, you must inquire from a qualified person who can dispel those doubts with a weapon of knowledge. How to not be affected by the modes of nature? You have to take shelter of Krishna. Very simple thing. There's some more questions coming in. Oh, here's one too. How can one offer whatever he is doing to Krishna? For example, one is studying at the university, as one is working as an IT professional. It's very simple. If you're working as an IT professional, you should be giving part of your income every paycheck, every month. It should be a monthly donor. Join the temple the donor program. Support this temple by your work. Don't just come here and take. Vaishnava means give, 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 give. You should give a portion of your income. The Christians give 10%. Tithing, they call it. Even a little Christian boy. I had a little allowance, and I was taught to give 10% of my allowance to the church. And I did that. I had a little envelope, and I would give 10% of my allowance to the church. Actually, our standard is 50%. If you can't do that, at least be on the level of a Christian and give 10% of your income to the temple. At least 10%. Don't be a miser. Yeah, I want to make money, 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 sweeter than money. Bhakti, 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 sweeter than money. Every devotee is working a job. They must support the temple. Well, what are you doing? You're a rascal. Not supporting the temple. You're working and you're not giving anything to the temple. Everyone must support the temple. As far as studying, well, you're studying so you can get a job so you can get money to the temple. And so you can have a livelihood to peacefully practice Krishna consciousness. You have a nice apartment, not proper facility that you can practice Krishna consciousness. It's not wanted to desire some money so you can live peacefully and happily practicing Krishna consciousness. I don't have money to go to Vrindavan now and then, you know. There's nothing wrong with making money for yourself if you're engaging yourself in Krishna's service. But you have to also support the temple, and that's the point. See here. Being in Krishna consciousness life is like going against the wind with all the hard work and continuous services. Against the wind? No, no. They're finding it to be a struggle, in other words. Actually, the real position is, it means going with the wind. The actual wind, Krishna says, a purifier is I am the wind. So you have to go with, you have to actually, you have to be like a sail and let the wind of Krishna transport you across the ocean of birth and death. You'd be like a sail, sailboat. And the wind of Krishna just transports you right across the ocean. If you find that you're going against the wind, you're not in Krishna consciousness. You're still thinking you're the center of the universe. Kick out this false conception that you're the center of the universe. You're not the center of the universe. You're simply a tiny servant of Krishna. So just understand the favorable breezes of the Vedic instructions and let these breezes carry you. They're coming in the form of the spiritual master's instructions, your temple authority's instructions. You see, just learn how to take these favorable breezes and flow with them. And you'll find how you're crossing over that dangerous ocean of Kali in a state of pure bliss. How to know if what happens to me is my karma or Krishna's mercy? Karma is also Krishna's mercy. You know, when you're put into prison, that's also the mercy of the government to reform you. So, karma or it's all Krishna's mercy. So you have a choice. Do you want the karmic mercy or do you want the akarmic mercy? You see? Krishna consciousness is akarma. You can get the karmic mercy or the akarmic mercy. Your choice. You cultivate Krishna consciousness, you get the akarmic mercy. If you don't cultivate Krishna consciousness, you get the karmic mercy. In the beginning, we're getting a mixture. Karmic, akarmic, because we're not fully attuned to Krishna yet. But gradually, as you progress, you get more and more akarmic mercy and less karmic mercy. And finally, it's just pure akarmic mercy. You understand? Okay, how to answer someone who says that what is the proof that God is there? Well, there's so many nice evidences, actually. One nice argument that Prabhupada gave is this. Every machine has an operator. Can you show me any machine that does not have an operator? Every machine requires an operator. So we can analyze scientifically this universe is functioning like a machine. Therefore I can guess that this machine also has an operator. The scientists say, well, every machine has an operator except for this machine, the universal machine. That's not scientific. It's like Newton analyzed, well, I see so many apples falling here in the orchard, one hit me on the head, and there's so many apples, there must be some law that's making all these apples fall. I can deduce it because I see so many apples falling, therefore I can deduce that all the apples are falling. You see? That's scientific. He deduced the law of gravity from the falling apples happening all over the orchard. So in the same way, we can deduce from every machine have an operator that this machine must also have an operator. You say it doesn't, it's weird. I mean, it's asinine. It's not intelligent. It's foolish. Because they are envious of God, therefore they use these twisted arguments to deny the existence of God. But these are not intelligent arguments. They're foolish arguments. And only a fool would accept such arguments. Dr. Stephen Hawking, he very proudly says, through his little computer-generated voice, he says, everything comes out of nothing. And that's his really, everybody goes, oh, he's such a great scientist. He's taught us everything comes out of nothing. But nothing comes out of nothing. Show me one example of something coming out of nothing. If everything comes out of nothing, you can show me at least one thing, Dr. Hawking, that comes out of nothing. Give me one example. I tried it in Kuala Lumpur. I made an experiment. A little scientific experiment. I took a stove and a pot, and I'd like popcorn. So I put some, I held this, the pot on the stove, turned on the burner, and said, pop, 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 and no popcorn came out of the empty pot. I defeated Dr. Hawkins. And he says, everything comes out of nothing. Why then popcorn can't come out of nothing? It didn't come out of nothing. No popcorn came in my pot. So Dr. Hawking was defeated. So these arguments is just asinine, ridiculous. I like that word asinine. The English word asinine. You know. It's ass-like consciousness. Asses give asinine arguments. So this way, don't be deluded by the asinine arguments of asinine fools. Hear from the great acharyas, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, Krishna. Hear from these great authorities and actually become an enlightened being who becomes free from all miseries of material existence. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very much for tuning in to Srimad Bhagavatam. Kramtarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. The thoughts love the whole world with Krishna Prema ki jai.